This podcast delves into the dark, the depraved, and all things to keep you up at night. Listener discretion is advised. Now, sit back, pull the covers over your head, and allow yourself to be taken on a journey through the abyss.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Through the Abyss podcast. I'm your co-host, Mandy.
What's up, guys? I'm Ben.
He's had a little bit too much coffee today.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to be talking about Diane Downs, and she is the original Casey Anthony.
She's Can I just say horrible. One thing? Yes. This lady is a real downer.
Oh, my God. Okay. This is what we're in for today, apparently. So yeah, she infuriates me just as much as Casey does. So this may be interesting to get through. I'm going to play a lot of clips from this interview I found on her because she is batshit crazy. And if you want the definition of a narcissist, this woman's picture should be in the dictionary beside the word itself. She's,
oh yes, Mandy. I did want to mention to you that yes. We actually happen to be in Psychopathology 2 on Cluster B personality disorders now, which include narcissistic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, two of her diagnoses. So I have those flagged and we can discuss those a little bit later if you would like.
Excellent. Yes, because she is most definitely both of those, as well as histrionic, which
histrionic is also a cluster B. Yes.
There you go. So we've got Mr. Expert here who's going to teach us something. So jumping right in, I'm not really going to talk much about her early life because I don't really care about her. And I don't think it's an excuse. But she supposedly said she was supposedly abused by her father when she was younger. I don't know if that's true or not. Just because I also think she's kind of a compulsive liar. But, you know, it's her word against whatever.
If she really does have a personality disorder, most of them are stemming from abuse. So it is possible.
Okay, so it's possible she got sexually abused by her father when she was younger, which, I mean, kind of makes sense because she kind of turned into a whore later on in life, which I think tends to happen sometimes too.
Yeah, the reckless behavior also a symptom.
Okay, now her crime. This is May 19th, 1983. I think she was about 20, around that age. She and her three kids were driving at night. The kids are asleep in the back seat and it's dark outside. And she goes down this deserted road that she's never been down before because, quote unquote, they like to sightsee again at night. Her kids are already asleep. So I don't see how you could sightsee.
Man, you sound like you don't believe this lady's story at all.
I know. Isn't that crazy? I'm jumping the guns and jumping to a conclusion already.
The stars at night are big and bright.
Oh my God. If you get that song stuck in my head.
Texas.
No. Oh my God. No. Anyway, while she was driving down this road, she said there was this scraggly haired man standing in the middle of the road flagging her down. Now, me as a 20-year-old mother with my three kids in the back, I am certainly going to stop for this guy who looks crazy, right? Isn't that something I think you would do too?
Yeah, so she's saying she stopped for this guy?
Oh, yeah, she stopped for the guy. And apparently when she did, he pulled a gun on her and said, give me your car. And she wouldn't. So he, in turn, shot all three kids in her back seat and shot her in the arm. Now, the kids in the back, they were like shot in the chest area, in the back. Her little boy was paralyzed from the waist down. Her oldest daughter, Christy, because of her gunshot wound, she had a stroke. And unfortunately, the middle child, Cheryl, she died before they even got to the hospital from her gunshot wounds. And so
she does have an arm shot as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Her left arm. She's right-handed, by the way. So
I just want to know how bad the arm shot is. Like, did she, well. Sorry, it was a scraggly man. It wasn't her. Never mind.
Right. She didn't do it herself. So Yeah, so after that happened, she said she feigned throwing her car keys. And when he turned, she like shoved him and jumped in the car and sped off down the road. Now, her statement is that she was like flying down the road, racing to get to the hospital or whatever. But there happened to be a witness who got behind her and reported to the cops after seeing, you know, her car and her license plate and everything on the news that, you know, later that day or whatever. But he said he was behind her for a few minutes and she was only going 5 to 7 miles per hour. You're shot in the arm. Okay. I understand you're probably like, oh my God, your kids are bleeding in the back. But if you're driving that slow, to me, that says you're trying to go slow enough to where the kids are dead before you get to the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, have you been in a 25 mile an hour zone before?
Yes. 25 miles an hour is horrible.
It is hard.
Yes.
To drive that slow. 7 miles an hour, you would have to be putting some serious effort into not gassing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, so what I'm saying, though, is even if you were in shock and just coasting, you couldn't do 7 miles an hour.
No, because, I mean, you couldn't coast anyway because it's a flat surface. You still have to be applying gas to get anywhere. Mm. So it's just like, okay, that was like red flag number one, I think. I mean, the bells and whistles were going off for the cops and everything from pretty much the moment she got to the hospital until through her conviction. Cause this is why I wanted to play this interview, and we'll break it up into pieces and talk about it little by little, but she is just absolutely crazy insane. So they get to the hospital. Cheryl, unfortunately, has already passed away at that time. Mm-hmm. And also she took the time to wrap a towel around her arm, around her gunshot wounds, to drive to the hospital, whereas, you know, she did nothing whatsoever to help her bleeding kids in the backseat, which I don't see a mom who loves their kids doing that. I just don't see it. So when they get to the hospital, you know, obviously the nurses and everything take care of the kids, and she's put into her own room to get her wound or whatever thing fixed. The police talked to her a little bit, and then the doctor threw in his reaction to the way she was acting too.
Yeah. So
cue that up here.
It's fair to say that they were onto her pretty quickly.
Yeah. And this woman, it's hard not to be onto her with just Lord have mercy.
When I got to the hospital, I was directed to interview the mother.
So I stopped and got out and asked him what was the problem. And he said, I want your car. And I said, gee, I'd be kidding. I mean, how many people really do that in real life? They don't.
Her demeanor was flat. Not one tear, even though she knew that Cheryl had died.
I just kept saying, God, do it next. You know, if they gotta die, let them die, but don't let them suffer.
Her demeanor at the hospital did not conform to a traditional grieving mother whose children had just been shot, one murdered, the other two seriously, clinging to life.
It was surreal.
When I was finished taking care of Christy, then I sought out her mother, and to my complete surprise, Diane was non-emotional, not a tear in her eye. And then she says, that really ruined my new car. I got blood all over the back of it. I've never seen a reaction like that at all.
So she's worried about her car being ruined. And then I thought the first thing she was talking about how, you know, the guy pulled her over and she's like, who does that? Nobody does that in real life. They just don't. That to me sounded like almost like a confession. Like one of those, you know, when people are like saying no, but they're nodding their head, that kind of thing. That just sounded like a confession to me personally.
Yeah.
She ain't right in the head.
No, I mean, she's getting a double dose of it too, because criteria A7, lack of remorse for antisocial personality disorder,
mm-hmm.
and then lack of empathy is criteria A7 for narcissistic personality disorder, right? So she has no remorse. She has no empathy. Like they said, it's like she was flat and she just spoke as if like her middle daughter didn't just die. No tears, no concern.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
very,
I mean, her,
very odd behavior.
Her reactions the whole time. I mean, you'll even see her facial expressions when I play this video for you with this particular interview that she did. I mean, she's always got this like constant smirk on her face, and that just doesn't, you're talking about your kids being brutally murdered. I would be in tears the whole time. I don't think I could even probably talk about it.
And I mean, no, I mean, I feel like if she just didn't say anything, like I could see her being catatonic for a while.
Yeah.
But this is beyond, what's the word? She's not just blocking it out of her mind, right? She's not just pretending it didn't happen. She's doesn't care.
Oh, no, absolutely. Which leads us into what most people think is her motive. Now, she was in love with a coworker who basically said he did not want to father any children whatsoever. He didn't want to have kids around at all. And this is actually, she's one of these people that pours out her entire thoughts in journals and diaries or whatever. Well, the cops seized them, and that seemed to be a big contributor to why they think she did what she did, was because Nick didn't want her kids. So,
which is exactly what happened with Casey Anthony, right?
Yes, it is.
Crazy.
Boyfriend didn't want kids.
Crazy. He probably wasn't too serious about her either, right? Because the only reason I'm asking that is because for histrionic personality disorder, criteria A8 considers relationships more intimate than they are.
Yeah, I mean, that she's definitely like that, I think. And he, Ann Rule, wrote a book about her called Small Sacrifices. And she said, let me try to remember what exactly she said. She interviewed this guy. And I guess Diane had moved out of the county or out of the city or something. And he told Ann Rule that I guess he felt a sigh of relief that she wasn't anywhere near him anymore. I'm so sure, he wasn't really interested. He wasn't in love with her.
No, I mean, look.
And he was married, by the way.
Oh, okay. So that, yeah, right. So this is a fling for him, right? She thinks they're in love, and she's got to change her whole life. Change her life so drastically that she's eliminating her three children to be a part of his life, when if he's already married, I mean, any logical human being's going to be like, it's possible, but I'm probably not going to end up with this person. Mm-hmm. So how would your mind get to sacrifice my children to it? I mean, clearly she thinks this relationship is more than it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And wait till we get into what she thinks kids are. Cause it's,
oh Lord,
it's quite interesting. Now, throughout this entire investigation, she became a media whore. She was doing every kind of TV news spot that she could get a hold of. And thank God there was no social media back then, because she would have been blowing the shit up.
Ding, 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 ding. That is the definition of histrionic personality disorder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, she loves. Oh, I mean, just because I've watched, she was even on Oprah. Her and Ann Rule were on Oprah. Of course, you know, she was in jail at the time, so she was via satellite. But it was, my God, this woman just thinks she's the best thing since sliced bread, which is so unnerving, really. I'm going to go ahead and start playing this clip. This first clip, this is her dad talking.
Was there a time when I had doubts? Yes, there was. The first night, as a matter of fact, I had doubts. I felt, I sat and I sized up the situation, and I saw at one point that Diane had been shot in the, and everybody knows her as Elizabeth, but Diane had been shot in the left arm. And she's right-handed. And I made the comment to the police department there that night. It looks to me like Diane did it, because the children have been shot in the chest and Diane has only been shot in the arm. And I says, it really looks like she did it. That really is the thing that spurred them to go and check, to do the Q-tips, run the Q-tips around her finger to check for the powder residue, and to also spray her hands to see if she held a gun. So it was a good thing that I expressed that. And I'm a very open person. If I think that somebody did something, I'm not about to hesitate to say they didn't. You know, I'll tell them that I think they did.
Kind of sounds like Dad likes to talk too.
Yeah. I mean, like, look, I'm not saying you should protect your kid if they do something horrible, but he's just like, he's detached too, in my opinion. He's like, yeah, I mean, if someone does something wrong, I'm going to say something. It's like, dude, this is your daughter, bro. Why aren't you crying? Why aren't you like, man, I can't believe she did this. It's horrible. Like,
and his grandkids too.
Right. You know? I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, I hope this is years after it happened, or if this is,
oh, no, no, this is during the interview or the investigation time.
Yeah. Well, she says that there was sexual abuse from her father, right?
Yeah.
So there is a possibility this guy's super screwed up.
You're right. And you know, oh God.
I mean, it's to right there. If this is right after, like, to me, he's got no emotion. He's got all the same symptoms she has.
Well, shit. He went to the damn cops and said, look, my daughter did it. You know, checked for gun residue. That's sad. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
You'd want to think as a parent that you would trust your child until proven not, right?
Yeah.
Like the court of law is supposed to be innocent until guilty. At least your
that's
parents
not how
should
it
be
ever
like,
happened.
My kid didn't do it, until they actually see a photograph of you with the knife. And then they're like, oh yeah, he did that.
Yeah, it's a rough one, but it's sad that her dad doesn't even believe in her. This next one, let me cue that up, y'all.
This man shot my daughter. My first reaction was to snap back to my childhood, to the pain that had happened to me back then, my marriage, my entrapment by society. This man was bigger than me. He was stronger than me. He had more power because he had a gun. He was in control and I was not. And there was nothing I could do. And I stood there and I looked at Christy reaching and the blood that just kept gushing out of her mouth. And
get her smile.
What do you do? Mm-hmm. You just stand there trapped. And then the gun kept firing and firing and firing. And it was monotonous. It just kept going. It was like a slow motion picture. And then he swung around towards me. And this is something that I did not recall when I was explaining to the cops, because it wasn't like a movie when I was telling them. I was telling them what happened, the important details. He shot my kids. I pushed him. I ran. And when he swung around, he was pointing, when he swung around, it hit the tips of my fingers. The gun hit the tips of my fingers. Mm-hmm. And that snapped me. And I went, wait a minute. I'm not trapped by society. I don't care if he is bigger. If I stand here and I say, yeah, here, take the keys. I mean, there's nothing I can do. You win because you have the gun. My kids are going to die. And I'm not going to let my kids die. And so instead of giving him the keys, I feigned throwing the keys. He did not take time to point the gun and shoot me, obviously, because he would have shot me the same way he did the kids. When he was swinging in the direction of the keys, firing the gun, he hit my arm. Everybody says, you sure were lucky. Well, I don't feel very lucky. I couldn't tie my damn shoes for about 2 months. It is very painful. It is still painful. I have a steel plate in my arm. I will for a year and a half. The scar is going to be there forever. I'm going to remember that night for the rest of my life, whether I want to or not. I don't think I was very lucky. I think my kids were lucky. If I had been shot the way they were, we all would have died.
One of your children died, and you're talking about your arm. Come on. Come on.
Come
on. My kids were lucky? One of them is deceased. You have a stupid plate in your arm.
I think she couldn't tie her shoes for 2 months.
Yeah. The only thing slightly that gives credence to anything she said, in my opinion, and I'm not saying I believe her all, 100% don't, is if you're driving a car and you're throwing keys out the window or pretending to throw keys out the window, it is your left side. You might get shot in the left arm as you extend it out the window if he spun around and shot at the, you know what I'm saying? Like, it would be her left arm that would be shot. Her dad was like, oh, it would have been her right arm shot. And it's like, the fact that it was left arm shows that she did it. What I'm saying is, he would, if she really got shot while throwing keys out, it probably would have been her left arm.
That's they were alluding to the fact that she's right-handed, so she would have had to have shot her left arm.
Yes, I understood that portion, but what I'm saying is that isn't definitive, because if she was shot, like she said, while throwing the keys, she probably would have faked throwing it out with the left hand, because that's the hand by the driver's side window.
Unless she was standing out of her car.
Yeah. I mean, was she supposed to be out of her car at that point?
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind. Because then you would throw with your dominant hand.
Exactly. But did you catch the part where she said the shooting, it was monotonous? Her kids are being shot, but it's monotonous. That's what she said. That is the word she
used. It got so boring. I just couldn't even deal with all that shit.
I know, right?
So boring.
I'm hoping she just...
I don't know how in the hell anyone's like, I'm not lucky. I have a plate in my arm. My kids were the lucky ones. One of your children is dead. One is paralyzed. One had a stroke. What the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, but she's got a plate in her arm, so she wasn't the lucky one. No.
Oh, Lord.
No, she should have said, you know, I'm not lucky because I lost all three of my kids. One's dead, one's paralyzed, and the others, you know, had to go through a lot.
Right.
Yeah, she's...
Or like, I'm in prison, so, like, I don't get to see my two remaining children. One is dead, like, I'm not lucky. Right? Right. But...
That's what I think a normal person with feelings would say.
I mean, yeah. I mean, look, mothers, real mothers... do anything for their kids. Mm-hmm. They would take the bullet for their kids. They wouldn't even like think about their arm ever in this scenario. Their arm would be like last thing, like don't care.
Right.
You the most about that night.
What do I see most is blood coming out of Christy's mouth, because that's what I see. I can't see Danny and I can't see Cher. Sherry was laying on the floor and. Driving to the hospital, I don't know the sounds that were made at the initial shooting because I was on the outside, and all I could hear, I can't hear anything but gunshots, and I can see things, you know, that's it. Driving to the hospital, I can smell blood. I can not hear Cheryl. Cheryl's not making a sound. Danny is just crying real, real soft. So that sound stays in my mind, and the fact that Christy's choking, it just... And then I'm yelling at her, I'm screaming at her to roll over on her face because I was trying to keep her from choking on her blood, and it just didn't dawn on me that she was shot in the chest and that the blood was coming from her chest, not going down into her chest.
Yeah. I don't know what to even say about her because, I mean, it's like she just raced in the car, and granted I can see her jumping in the car and getting away to try to get away from the guy who has a gun, but she didn't even like stop to check on her kids. To see, you know, get the kid out of the floor, or, you know, anything like that. That's, I just don't see a parent doing that.
Do we know the timeline of when this interview was afterwards?
Well, she's not in jail yet, so it's within a year.
Yeah.
Because she went to jail before.
It's like, there's still, like, no tears shed.
Oh, no. So, I mean, her media frenzy started pretty much after she got out of the hospital. So I'm not exactly sure when 2020 did this interview with her. But I mean, it was, or this one isn't 2020, but she did a lot. And it, so who knows? But I mean, it was less than a year from when it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. She's got severe things going on, just because, like, I would think most people, even if they killed their own child, would still feel some remorse and cry, right?
Well, you would think so, but not her. She's...
I mean, didn't Casey Anthony even fake some tears at some point?
She did at the trial.
Yeah. This lady doesn't even look close.
No, she doesn't at all.
I know all the mistakes. I know not what not to do.
And
to
she's
my
still
kids.
Smiling.
I know what to avoid. One thing is to not be married. And that may seem very harsh,
what
but
the hell's that?
I honestly don't believe that children need fathers. And they're nice to have around sometimes when they can do things to help you, but when they are mentally abusive, when they are harsh, and the way my ex-husband was, they're more a deterrent to the children than a help. And unless you can find a good father, there is no need for them.
Did your childhood affect your attitude toward men?
That has a lot to do with it. That had a lot to do with it for many, many, many years. I hated men with a passion. But I hated men for a long time. That's why I met Steve. That's why I married Steve, because Steve did not seem to be that way. Steve was always on his best behavior. He does the thing that most people do when they're dating, and that's put their best foot forward. Yeah. You're nice, they're punctual, they're everything they're supposed to be. And then you marry them, and it's, hey, Diane, can you let yourself in? I have to run down and look at a car.
Yeah.
That's what he did on our wedding day. Well, actually, I found it out the day I got married, and then within the next 2 months after that, I found out that Steve was exactly like my father. But it took me 2 years, 3 years, to finally say, I can't take it anymore. He really, really is. He's not going to change. I am a person that believes that everybody's going to change for the better, given the right circumstances. If you be a good wife, if you don't nag, if you love them, if you're always there when they need them, if the food's always ready, if the house is always clean, they're going to change. He didn't change. And that's why, even though we were married for 8 years, only three of it was not tolerable. It wasn't tolerable, but that was the only three that I tried. After that, I quit because I didn't want to be married anymore.
She hates men, but yet she has self-proclaimed that she's had a lot of lovers.
Yeah. I mean, and I would go as far as to say that, like, she probably talks about Steve in some respects as, like, being abusive and things. She kind of mentioned half a sentence maybe on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But her main issues when she was talking about how men change and how they go, it's like, they're no longer punctual. It's like, really?
Right. That's a qualification.
He went to check out a car on our wedding day. It's like, I mean, did you still get married? And then he took like an hour to go look at a car. I mean, these aren't like real incriminating things in my mind. Like, what are you talking about, lady?
Well, you know, she's not responsible for anything she does, so it's got to be somebody else's problem and fault for things.
And a lot of time with these disorders, I'm not saying this guy isn't abusive. I have no idea. But because people do kind of tend to gravitate, especially if they're dysfunctional like she is, to the people that have hurt them, right? So she would possibly look for someone that's like her father if he was abusive. So it's possible Steve was, but the problem is these things are all cyclical, right? Like, so she sees him as just being this abusive guy, but we don't see anything about what's going on with her because she's not going to ever show us that, where she might be screaming and throwing things and punching him. You know, I'm not saying that one wrong deserves another wrong, but I'm saying that a lot of times nobody's innocent. I don't know if you've been watching any of this Johnny Depp, Amber Heard stuff.
No, I haven't.
Real popular out there right now. Everyone's like, oh, Johnny Depp, so innocent, so this and that. It's like, I look at it and I'm like, all right, Amber Heard, this is going to cause people to hate me, but I'm going to say the truth. I see it and I'm like, Amber Heard does seem like she did a lot of bad things to Johnny Depp. However, I don't think she did them all without him doing anything. I think it is all reciprocal. I think it's all a circle.
Oh, I've always heard he was kind of an abusive guy anyway.
Yeah, it seems a lot like he got drunk a lot and threw tantrums, and then she would respond violently and then he would respond back violently, and it's just a disastrous couple of toxicity. And you know it's
exactly
like, but I don't see anyone in where I'm like, ooh, poor Johnny Depp. It's like, no. And I'm not like poor Amber Heard. I'm like, they both just kind of screwed up a lot.
Yeah, I don't even care.
But I see this as the same thing, right? It's like she's going to just straight blame Steve. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
But what did you do, cuckoo pants?
Yeah, that cuckoo pants not even accurate for her.
Have his vasectomy changed, reversed. He refused. I asked him for a year. He kept saying no. I said, fine.
He's talking about Steve
here. I will find
a
suitable donor. I watched people I worked with. I picked somebody that was attractive, that was healthy, that was not abusive of drugs and alcohol and such, was strong, you know, bone structure, the whole bit, a good specimen. It was really clinical. It was really terrible. And I seduced him. And I know my cycle, and it only took once, and I got pregnant. I went home, and about a week later, I told Steve I was pregnant. And he goes, how do you know? And I says, well, I know my cycle. I know I'm pregnant. And he was really upset. For that whole 9 months, he put me through hell every day, every night. It was terrible, just railed on me constantly, told me to get an abortion, the whole bit. And then after the baby was born, he told me, if you have a girl baby, I might let you stay around. But if you have a boy, I'm kicking you both out on your butts, and you're going to take those two with you also, because how do I know they're mine? That kind of attitude. Well, I lived with that for 9 months. Well, when Danny was born, the reason I had to be a girl was because Christy was supposed to be a boy. I was so cruel and mean, I had a girl, and Steve just couldn't stand it. Got one more chance, Diane. Cheryl better be a boy. Well, Cheryl turned out being a girl. He came into the recovery room. He goes, well, where is he? I said, he's a she. He says, how could you do that? You know, we're not having any more kids. Crazy, flipped out. So if I was going to have another one, I better darn sure have a girl. Well, when Danny was born, he was a boy, and my first thought was, I'm dead. He's dead. What's he going to do to that baby?
None of this makes sense.
I mean, that was my baby. That was supposedly the baby that was going to replace the one that I'd aborted. And as soon as I looked at Danny, I said, you can't. That's a boy baby. And I just knew that the baby I'd aborted was a girl. I'd named her Carrie and everything. It's just a different human being altogether, you know. And a whole lot of emotion on that delivery table. And Steve standing there right beside me looking at me like, you witch. How could you do this? You're out, you know. And Dr. George handed Daniel to Steve. And from that point on, Steve spent the rest of the past 4 years trying to prove to people that he was not biased and not prejudiced, thereby becoming biased and prejudiced.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's look at the first story of when Steve says he doesn't want another kid. She's like, so I go to my coworker. I find it's almost clinical, this perfect specimen of a guy, and I seduce him, and I get knocked up on my cycle because I know my cycle. Then I come back and Steve's like, how do you know you're pregnant? Oh my God. And he's mad at me like some sort of jerk. And it's like, wait, lady, Steve told you he didn't want any more kids. And you went and banged a coworker and got knocked up. And now Steve's mad. And that's Steve's fault.
Yeah.
What the F kind of world does this lady live in? Look, not to be a misogynist, but I'm with the dude on this one.
I'm with the dude on this one too. And not only the fact, you know, okay, he only wants a boy, and the first two, apparently she can make that choice of having a boy or a girl's what she's making it sound like.
She's making him sound so crazy that it almost makes you think that there's no way that he said any of that.
Yeah, but then after the second one, it's like, I don't want a boy, I want a girl. All of a sudden now he wants a girl. I wonder if she would think she's absolutely perfect in everything she's saying with her kind of disorders. Oh my God in heaven.
Well, and the other major factor is just that this whole conversation that she's having with this lady about whether he wants a boy or a girl or this or that, none of it's abuse, right?
No.
So it's not pertinent to anything about Steve treating her bad. It's not pertinent to anything about her children being shot. It's not pertinent to anything. Like, she's just speaking gibberish nonsense.
That's what she did in every news thing that she went on. It's all about her and everything that's happened to her throughout her life. She hardly ever mentions the three kids that, you know, are the real victims here. I mean, it's
right.
She's the clear-cut definition of narcissistic.
Absolutely, because basically saying things like, Steve said that he wished I would have just gotten an abortion. Like when she got pregnant with a coworker, right? It's like, you're just going into like verbal arguments you had with an ex that have zero to do with this case, right?
I will say that he supposedly made her get an abortion after Cheryl was born.
Yeah. I'm just referring to the line where she says he wished I would have gotten an abortion. Right. Like,
right.
I mean, people say shit when they're angry. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like, if you, okay, guys can't get pregnant. Well, if you were dating a woman and she shows up pregnant, you know it's not yours.
Right.
Right. And you were like, oh my gosh, you need to get an abortion. But then like 2 months
I would
later,
never say that.
I said, but like, would you hate yourself if you did? Like, is it worth mentioning later?
No, because
like,
I mean,
at the moment, I'm saying like, it has nothing to do with anything. The fact that he lashes out when she cheats on him.
Yeah.
In one verbal ridiculous statement is not a testament of abuse.
If he even said it.
If he even said it. Right.
So that's, yeah. But yeah, I know. You say shit when you're angry.
What I'm saying is, if he was like, you should fucking die, whore. I want you dead, and blah, blah, blah. Pushed her up against the wall. I'm like, all right, this guy's terrible. But she doesn't say any of that. He got mad and said something stupid. And that's your whole reason why this guy's the devil. And he apparently started being not punctual. And he went to look at a car on your wedding day. Those are the only three things you've told me about Steve. And I'm supposed to hate Steve.
Honestly, though, I really don't think he wanted kids at all, because I don't think he was a good dad, because his kids did not end up going to him either.
Yeah, like I say, I don't think Steve's probably a great guy, but she's not giving us any reason to believe that.
Right. Oh, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, she's...
she's gibberish. She just talks nonsense.
No, wait till you hear this next clip if you want gibberish and nonsense.
For Steve to get custody of the kids, and then you wrote a letter to your former boyfriend telling him that Steve was an unfit father for your children. A lot of people won't understand that, Diane.
But Steve is different than most people. He can... Steve pointed an empty gun at my head at one time and pulled the trigger.
Okay, that's bad.
Do you know why? He wanted me to marry him. That is crazy!
And she did!
CSD, I believe, is very careful in picking out the people that care for a child that they think has been abused. And right now, they believe that Christy has been one of the most abused children in the world. Granted, she was shot, but before that, she was never abused. But they believe that that's probably true. And so they're going to put Christy in a very, very good place. And so I know that Christy's in a good home. Yeah. And so I just decided that it was better that Christy be in a safe, in a mentally stable environment, rather than to be with Steve. And
or her.
If I had walked up to Susan Staffel and said, please don't let them go to Arizona, or if I had called Furtick and asked the same thing, they would have sent the kids, or they would, granted, they could not send the kids. They make suggestions to the court as to what happens to the kids. And they would have suggested to the court that the kids go, merely because I don't want them to. That means Steve and I had a falling out. What better place could they be safe? Not realizing that they aren't safe from Steve, even, and emotionally. And so I couldn't just count on them to cooperate with me. They haven't so far. I couldn't expect them to now. And so I had to find another way to tell them. And I know that my ex-boyfriend was a fink. He was taping for the cops. He admitted that he was everything. Every conversation that I had with him on the phone was taped and sent immediately to the DA's office. And I knew that that letter, if I sent it to him and he read it, would in fact get to the DA's office. But all the other letters that I'd been sending as of late were being returned. And so I knew that I had to do something to make that letter so enticing that he would open it.
Dawn says she felt trapped.
She's making up shit. She didn't decide for her kids to go somewhere.
Do you have any idea how she made the letter enticing?
I think it was her telling Steve who the other father was or something like that.
But I mean, enticing for her ex-boyfriend to open?
Oh, yeah, that I don't know. Because if an envelope is turned, it's usually not open.
With some lipstick or like, well, what would do this letter? What are you doing?
I don't know. That's interesting.
So at this point, though, she's not arrested, clearly.
Right.
So they took her kids away from her, obviously, right?
Yeah, because she's still a suspect.
Okay. So, prime
suspect.
Yeah, of shooting them. So they wouldn't be safe with her at all. I just didn't know that. I don't know the rules on that. I guess if you think there's a possibility the child is unsafe, then you can do that. But to me, it would be like until you're convicted, it would seem like you couldn't take the child away from the parent. But clearly I'm wrong.
I'm glad in this case that they did.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah. I mean,
those poor kids, I can't even imagine.
Even though any person would be like, okay, if I do anything else, I'm definitely going to jail. She's a little bit out of touch with the reality, or might just not care, right? So,
honestly, she's just fucking crazy. I hate to use that word because there's so many connotations of it, but that God, no, she needs to be in a loony bin.
Yeah, she's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
I just gonna say, like, I don't know a ton about him or anything, so I feel bad saying something, but just from that short little snip we had of her dad, I feel like she got it all honestly, right? It's all
genetic. Absolutely. He doesn't seem to be a very caring person either. Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a time when during that you thought about taking your own life and went into the bathroom with the gun? And
because that's something I would smile about too. Indeed,
that is true. Only, no, it's not. That's a long one too. It takes many, many years of being mentally harassed, pushed into a corner. You can't go anywhere. You're trapped. It even stems from my childhood of being trapped. You know that you can't go away. You can't go someplace else. There's no place to escape to because they'll find you. They'll bring you back. Yeah. You'll be punished somehow. Steve was the same type of person. He was the kind of person that, at nighttime especially, was his best time for fighting, and he would just rail on me, just fight and fight and fight, and there was no way to escape, no way at all. Well, after I got my divorce, I figured I was free of that, and I wasn't. Steve would still come to my house and still do the same thing, and this was 2 years after our divorce, and he came to my house, and I had taken a gun. He had a handgun. It was the handgun that he had put to my head, unloaded and fired, and I took it from him. I swiped it from him and I hid it in my house. And it was in my bedroom. He was doing it again and he was getting very, very physical. Steve had just beat me up 2 weeks before that, beat me up terribly. There was blood all over the place. The sheriff's department came out and made a report on it, and my nose was all bruised, my face was bruised, my chest was bruised. He had choked me. I was terrified of him. He had never done that before. And for all I knew, this was 2 weeks later, he was going to do it again. And I ran in the bathroom, I ran in the bedroom and slammed the door. And he was coming through the door anyway, so I grabbed the gun and I ran in the bathroom and locked the door. And my first thought was, I'll never escape from him. I will never, ever get away. I divorced him, and that isn't even getting away from him. It doesn't matter what I do. I'll never get away from the insanity, except just to be oblivious to it. And I considered shooting myself, but it was a .22 handgun, and Steve had said, you can't kill anybody with a .22. Surprise. There's no way you could kill somebody. You would hurt them badly. And then I thought, besides, my kids need me. I can't die. Then I thought, maybe I should kill him. And then I said, same gun, same situation. I would hurt him. He would be furious. Then I'm really going to be in trouble. And so I said, what do I do? How do I tell him I'm serious?
The gun went off?
Yes, I fired it to scare the hell out of him. Yeah. I wanted him to know that I was serious enough that if he kept this up, if he kept doing what he was doing to my mind, someday perhaps that would be pointed at a person. Not now, but someday. Mm-hmm. And he just, I fired the gun. He went, oh my God, and he broke the door down. And I sat there and I handed him the gun and I said, now do you believe me? And he took the gun and he said, yeah, and he left.
According to police.
I wonder if she is either really, really stupid or really, really smart and thinking that this is going to set her up with maybe an insanity plea, that she was driven to kill her kids. But the gun that she had, as she said, was a .22. .22 is what was used to kill the kids. And the gun was never found at the scene. And that gun that she had went missing. Nobody knows where it is.
Well, that's because the scraggly man took it with him.
Oh, absolutely. Or just chucked it in that lake that's right there. But I think they drug it.
Oh, man. Her story. Oh. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's like, so I fired the gun so that I could show him that I was serious, that one day that gun might be pointed at another person. It's like, how do you say that sentence and not think, I'm psychotic?
I just incriminated myself.
Hey, I'm super psychotic. I just said something. I just said a homicidal statement. Wow.
Yeah, you see why she's always been the police's number one suspect.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Because, I mean, saying stuff about like how she has thought about hurting herself because of all this trauma she's going through, she can't escape. That's one thing that doesn't incriminate anybody. That actually makes you you're the victim. Like, oh, I feel sorry for you. But as soon as you slip into, and I thought about shooting him, it's like, oh, this just took a rough turn. Right. I mean, at no point should your mind be homicidal, but at no point, especially when you're being looked at by the police and you're being interviewed, should you make a statement that's homicidal.
Right, exactly. And honestly, you shouldn't even be given all these interviews.
No, yeah, you should be at home right now, hiding.
This is how absolutely insane this woman is. Like, they wanted her to do a recreation of what happened, and she did it, and I'm going to play it for you right now. And for those who are listening to the podcast, I will post the link to these videos. If you have a moment, go back and watch them, because they are absolutely ridiculously insane. I mean, she is. Hey,
before you play that,
yes,
I just wanted to mention one thing I found in histrionic personality disorder. Kind of goes with what we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
A5 criteria: impressionistic and vague speech. And kind of the little gist description they give of that is that you have all these opinions and stories and things, but no one quite understands them. So her nonsense is all part of histrionic personality disorder.
Yeah, she definitely fits that without a doubt.
Yeah.
Okay.
Car is Elizabeth Diane Downs.
She can be seen sitting in the car, and she's kind of primping, making sure that her hair looked the way she wanted it.
Diane Downs is trying to show the investigators exactly what happens.
I'm throwing the keys, okay? I'm throwing the keys.
So they can understand and get the forensics right.
I go like that. I got in the car, jumped in, put the keys in. I just hit my cast. Started the car and left. The car door shut itself.
God. She was giddy. She laughed. She cracked jokes. I mean, she's reenacting the gruesome shootings of her three children. She doesn't seem upset.
This is worse than me. Okay.
She'd hit her cast, then made the statement, "This is worse than," and she caught herself. So we speculated, of course, what she would have said to finish that sentence, and we always thought, "This is worse than when I shot myself."
Yeah. Tell me, I don't care how awful you could be, but could you really, if you weren't just absolutely evil, go through a reenactment of the brutal shootings of your kids and be laughing and joking and just having a good old time showing exactly what happened? I mean, for those who can't see, I mean, she you see her sitting in her car primping her hair, and she's smiling and laughing and just joking around the whole time, and then she hits her cast, and then, oh my God, that's a worst thing ever, and she's holding her cast and laughing, and that is not normal behavior.
No, not at all. I mean, not only is it not normal given the fact that her children were all shot and one of them is deceased, but even if you took that all away, take her children out of the scenario, you are held at gunpoint at your car, and then you get out, you pretend to throw the keys, you get shot in the arm, you get back in your car, you drive away. You would be traumatized by that event happening to you. So this would be not only something that would be emotionally provoking her to probably the point of tears, she also would probably be experiencing some fear, some post-traumatic stress. She would be having some issues right now as far as fear. She wouldn't be laughing and making jokes and saying stupid stuff. She would look a little bit afraid, and she would probably be crying.
Right. If she would have done it at all. I think for me, that if something like that happened, I don't know if I could reenact it.
Yeah. Is this the same exact car?
No, that wasn't her car.
Okay. So at least that factor doesn't exist. Kind of like, she probably wouldn't even want to go back near the car.
No, because you know, there's the blood stains and everything are still in the back, because it's, you know, I'm sure still being processed.
Yeah.
And being held in evidence.
Other statement she said that was weird to me is, "The door closed on its own." But I mean, it doesn't really mean anything. It's neither here nor there. It's just, I've never had my door close on its own. So I don't know if she got a magic door, or she bumped the door, or if she just forgets that she closed the door, or like why that statement even occurred. She's like, the door closed on its own.
She throws in all this erroneous information that has no place in any part of the story whatsoever. Yeah, every interview. You know,
maybe the whole point of it is to do what it did to me. It just distracted me, right? Where I'm just like, what does that even mean about this door? Just magic closing doors. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't matter. Because it's not even a real story.
It's possible.
She shot herself. She probably never even left the car. Well, she probably did. You know what? You know why she left the car? So she didn't shoot the freaking engine and have a dysfunctional car if she shot herself. I mean, she didn't want to risk hurting the car when she shot her arm. Otherwise, she wouldn't even have left the car.
Well, I don't know because she was outside when she shot at least one of the kids. Because, and we'll talk about blood spatter in a little bit. But
so she, what did she go to, like, the back window and shoot through?
There's a clip on that's like I think it's the last clip I'm going to play. It talks about the blood splatter. I'll go a little bit more into detail about what actually was on the car, not what she said was on the car, because she's just lying.
What, it doesn't match up? That's weird.
I know, right?
In prison,
I got pregnant because I miss Christy and I miss Danny and I miss Cheryl so much. I'm never going to see Cheryl on Earth again, and I just, you can't replace children, but you can replace the effect that they give you. And they give me love, they give me satisfaction, they give me stability, they give me a reason to live and a reason to be happy, and that's gone. They took it from me. But children are so easy to conceive.
Obviously, everyone is curious who the father is, and I know you probably don't want to talk about that. Does the father know who he is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's why I won't talk about it, because he feels as privately about this child as I do.
Oh my gosh, man. Like, listen to that statement in your head where she says, children are so easily conceived. I feel like she even paused for a second because she almost said, and she meant it, whether she said it or not, children are so easily replaced.
Exactly.
Whoa. That is like mind-boggling. She's like, but think about it. Children are so easily conceived. Yeah, conceived. We'll go with that one. Whoa.
Well, you know, and She only has kids to make herself feel better. They're there for her pleasure and nothing else,
right.
which tells me they're completely expendable.
Yes, her whole definition of what children are was disturbing to begin with.
Right.
And she's like, and you can replace them like this. It's like, man, you lose one, you get another.
I can see very easily.
Oh,
that just makes me want to tell them to make her sterile.
I mean, who's, like, how's she getting conjugal visits in prison? What, like, I don't, or is this before she's in prison?
No, this is before. She got knocked up.
And that makes me feel a little bit better, because I thought that they said in the beginning that she got pregnant in prison.
Well, keep in mind, like, this happened in 83, her trial was in 84.
Hmm.
And so, basically, right after her kids, one died and the other two were horribly, you know, messed up, she's getting knocked up to have another kid.
Yeah, I mean, that would be that last thing.
That would be the last thing on my mind.
Probably would be too disturbed to even consider dating, right? And even if you go through some weird phase thing where, like, you're like, I need comfort, maybe you would sleep around at that point. But I feel like you probably would just, like,
use a condom.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I feel like you just, I feel like you'd just be at home and be like, I'm just not even leaving my house at this point. Like,
yeah,
I'm scared of, I mean, I would think she'd be scared of people with guns, right? Like, I don't want to leave my house because I'm scared. I don't need to leave my house because my kids aren't even here. I just need to stay here and wait until I feel better, if that ever happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you and I are perfect examples of dealing with depression and things like that and not leaving your house.
Yeah,
I mean,
don't leave the house.
I don't either. Very rarely, unless I have to, because shit, you can get everything delivered right to your door, so there's no need to leave. But we've never had three of our kids brutally shot, so
no.
She's just walking around like it's a normal day, no big deal. Hey, I'm just gonna get knocked up by some dude.
I mean, it's eerie, and it just shows that these disorders, what they can do, because it's clearly, it becomes more than an individual person thing and becomes part of the disorders when it's like, it's like a mirror of Casey Anthony. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
Casey Anthony out partying and stuff, all these sexy photos and clubs, and it's like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah, while her daughter's, like, missing. Yeah,
this lady's out there getting knocked up, right? Like, we're doing the same stuff.
While she's being investigated. That's what cracks me up.
Right. While you're being investigated. I mean, look, even if you're guilty as hell, you think you'd be like, I don't want the police to see me going on dates and stuff or going to some dude's house. That looks crazy right now.
Yeah.
And getting pregnant looks crazy right now. Let's try to do something that benefits our case, right? Like, which is none of that.
Well, I think that all these interviews and everything that she's giving, I think in her mind, she's endearing herself to the multitude, when in actuality, she's making herself, well, she's basically hanging herself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disgusting.
One problem is, like, when she was talking about, I forgot to tell the police because I was so worried about telling them about the blood and the shots and the blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Was that I faked throwing the keys. That came to my mind later. And I think that these people, by these people, I mean people that are being investigated, think, ooh, the more details that I can give, the better I look.
Bad.
Right. But in all reality, it's like, if you just have the same, like, five simple details, that looks a lot more honest than, ooh, now I remember this. Ooh, now I remember that. Because what you're doing is you're thinking of things that you think would make you look the most innocent. And that's not what makes you look innocent. What makes you look innocent is having the same story the whole time.
Well, yeah. And I think you'll even hear cops say that, you know, the people who typically tend to lie will come up with all these excessive elements to very simple story.
Right. Like stupid shit. Like the door closed on its own. It's like, that doesn't even mean anything. Like, all you gotta say is I got back in the car. We assumed the door was closed.
Right. Right.
What would you do, given this current situation, if they said if they took away your kids, mm-hmm. and then they went one step further and said, we think you're an unfit mother.
We're going to take away this one. I don't know how they're going to do it. What if I'd like to see them try to take this baby from me. Ooh. And how could they do it? They're going to have to wait a long time to do it. Hopefully this thing will be cleared up by then. I don't know that they could do this, take it away after it's born. I don't know. I've never even talked to my attorney about it because it seems so, let's put it the way the DA says, it's laughable.
She is so sure that she is not going to prison.
Yeah. And
I don't know how.
How is it laughable that, like, clearly we've already established, even though, like, I had questions on it, but, like, clearly we've established that they're allowed to take your kids away if they think that you're a danger to them. Look, you're a danger to this child,
her two kids
have
already been taken away.
Yeah, as soon as that child's born, even if you're not in prison, you're not getting that child. Like, not a chance. That child's never leaving the hospital with you.
Is delusional any part of these characteristics, disorders that she has? Because clearly she is delusional. Or does it go into the narcissistic thing where she just thinks she can't be faulted for anything?
There was something that leaned towards it. It wasn't straight delusional. Maybe I didn't see anything on it. There's nothing really with delusional. I mean, there's deceitfulness, but, like, I don't think, well, yeah. I mean, she is, there's deceitfulness, because a delusion would be more like you believe it, right? I don't think she believes this nonsense she's saying.
Well,
I think
she
knows that she shot her children, right? She's just being deceitful. And has lack of remorse. That's the problem is, if you accompany, which this is all antisocial personality disorder, if you lie and you have no remorse, it gives that feeling of maybe this person believes it, but they don't, right? It's just that, like, you don't care and you can say a lie with a straight face. Most normal people, like, I'm going to say us, we're sort of normal, right? Like, if you tell a lie, you feel bad and you're like, it's like, that wasn't true. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, like, sorry, I didn't mean to tell you a lie there. But it's like, this lady can tell you that fucking water is dry.
Yeah.
And she's like smiling and it's like, no, it's dry. Like, it's like, I think this chick believes that shit. It's like, no, she just doesn't care. She can tell you a lie.
I think she's smiling because she thinks she's pulling the wool over everyone's eyes.
Yeah, she's beating everybody. Nobody knows what she's doing here.
Yeah.
Even though, like, the whole world does, because they don't live in La La Land.
Right, exactly.
And because, like, as much as people think that they're these great liars,
Yeah.
Like I said, the lack of remorse and stuff, it's like it doesn't mean that the lie is believable. Like if mm-hmm. you told me that water is dry, I'd be like, that's not true. Right. Like we still know when something's a lie. We right. just can't figure out if you believe it or not, because we don't know why the hell this lady's laughing and smiling and joking when her yeah. child just died. Right. It makes no sense to exactly. us, but to her, it's like, ooh, I got them all fooled. They see me laughing and stuff. They totally believe this is real.
Yeah. She's totally creepy.
Yeah.
I die every day. When I go to bed, I cry at night. Even now, I still cry. I dream about Cheryl.
No, you don't cry.
I dream about Cheryl reaching out with me with her arms and always giving me a kiss and saying, I love you. I miss you. Where have you been? It's almost as if she really is coming back and saying, how come you're not here with me? One time, it was right after Christy went to the foster home. I dreamed that Cheryl came to me. Well, Christy came to me. And I said, Christy, how did you find me? And she said, Cheryl brought me, and Cheryl came walking out of the shadows, and there was blood on her shirt, and I just, yeah, it was really spooky, and I said, Cheryl, I thought you were dead, and she goes, no, I was faking it. I knew they were going to take Christy away, and she wouldn't be able to find you, so I brought you, and then Cheryl showed us how to sneak Danny out of the hospital and everything. It was a wonderful dream. It was wonderful, because we were the four musketeers, and we were together again, but anyway, my dad knows how much I was grieving for the kids, and so he couldn't very well condemn the fact that I was having a child, because it's, like I said, it's not a full replacement. You can never replace a child. I tried to do that with Danny. Danny was
it's
a replacement
not a full
for a child
replacement.
That I had aborted many, many years ago when I was quite young and foolish. And I found at that time when Danny was born that he is a person in himself. You cannot replace a child with a child. They are individuals. And this child is not to replace Cher, never. Cheryl's always going to be with me. How could I replace her? She's still here. But it's somebody to keep me company until Chris and Dan come home.
Now they ain't ever coming home.
No. She talks about crying at night, right? And generally people do tend to be more emotional at night. And I think it's just that you're laying there and you no longer can avoid all the thoughts that you've pushed out of your mind
right
all day, right? Like during the day, we're distracted, we're working, we're doing the dishes, we're doing whatever we have to do. All right, we all have dishwashers, no one's doing the dishes anymore, but you know what I'm saying.
I don't have a dishwasher.
Well, see, then you're doing the dishes. But my point is this, the whole reason you're not crying during the day is that you're blocking this stuff all out of your mind. So, you know, when I think you would cry the most, and I've seen it happen with many, many human beings, it's not just like a guess. It's when you're being forced to think about it, which this interview is forcing you to think about it. And you've done nothing but laugh and smile the whole time, even though we're talking about the grisly murder of your child and your two other children you're never going to see again. Right. Maybe you think you will one day, but at least not for a long time.
Exactly.
And you're smiling and laughing. So it's like, you're not crying at night. This isn't a matter of you not thinking about it. When you think about it, you're not crying. We see that right now.
I'm surprised she got pregnant again, though, because she knows that her love of the life, her that guy, Nick, whoever she's so in love with, doesn't want kids. So I don't know. Maybe she was done with him and trying to move on to the next sucker. But I'm surprised that she ended up getting pregnant again.
My theory is he ghosted the hell out of her at that point, and
he probably did.
She found some other new sucker that she actually sort of likes, right? And so she got knocked up by this guy, whoever that is. Dude, I don't know. I'm sure we could figure out who her baby daddy is, but poor dude.
Yeah, she won't tell anybody.
Mm.
Well, Anne Rule knows, but Anne promised her that she would never say anything. Which I don't care if I promise something. I would somebody like that. I would have no problem breaking a promise. With somebody like that.
No.
But that's just me. Got one
it's
more
weird
clip.
Too that she's talking about how her dad, he knows how much I've grieved. And it's like
bullshit. Yeah, he's the one who fucking turned her in.
That's to say, like, maybe I need to look up more interviews because he doesn't seem super supportive of you at this moment.
No, not at all. At all. Here's the last one talking about blood spatter.
This is the guy.
Did you remember that
that's
there
who
was
she said,
more
yeah.
than one person there that night? I mean, no. Long after.
No. That is another thing that I suppose if you listen to the different tapes that were made, tapes by my ex-boyfriend, tapes by the sheriff's department,
you would understand a psychological pattern that was being built up. It's something that I did not even understand at the time because, first of all, I trusted the cops. And even though I didn't trust the cops, I was forced into a position of saying they're the only people that really can help me. They're the only people that will try to find the person that did this. And you're trapped in a position of having to trust somebody even though you don't know if you should trust somebody.
Downs also says the children were shot inside the car. But police reports claim high-velocity blood spatters were found on the outside of the car, on the passenger side.
The police found blood on the outside of the car. Could one of the children, perhaps Cheryl, have fallen out of the car on the passenger side?
The DA has come up with this idea that somebody was shot on the outside of the car, on the passenger side
well,
of the car.
Were.
I was on the driver's side of the car when I was shot. And that's why it was so... it was planted, and it just seemed, I mean, it can't be real, because they talk about blood spatter. And when they say spatter, I think something being shot out, like the blood spatter in the car, you know, it was so uniform, it was so regular, same size droplets spread evenly in a pattern. And when they say spatter, that's what I thought of. And we saw pictures of this so-called spatter. It's drops. When they took the kids, they took Chris and Cher out of the driver's side of the car, mm-hmm. and it's blood droplets. It's
I saw
when
the
they
pictures,
picked
not.
The kids up and carried them over the threshold, there is blood dripping down the side of the car.
Yeah, I saw crime scene photos of it. It's actual blood spatter that doesn't come from droplets dropping off a body. It comes from the ejection of a bullet coming out of somebody's body.
Yeah, and you know exactly how that could have happened. Well, if you shoot two of your children,
one probably got out.
One probably is running for their life.
Yeah.
And you run around and you shoot them and then you throw them back in the car. Right. Like, because they're not just going to sit there and watch you gun them down one by one.
Exactly. Yeah. The shit she comes up with is unbelievable. Her story actually also changed a couple times. Because like at first it was this scraggly haired man who was in the road and wanted her car. Next, it was, I think at one point it was two people that was there. And then another time it was, she knew the guy. She knew exactly who it was. But she's not saying who shot her kids. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And I'll actually play you a clip of her being interrogated by the cops and her coming up with this story. Just, she's so, oh my God, she's something else. She makes me want to punch her in the face. It's just so unbelievable the shit she comes up with.
I mean, think about the Casey Anthony lies, right? I mean,
oh Lord.
They just straight face say whatever.
Some sort of by the chance happenstance horrific crime on the side of a road. We have a conspiracy.
The story had morphed into two suspects and they referred to her by name.
And then somehow, she said, I think it was somebody that knew me.
You've changed it by saying that this guy knew you now, he knew your tattoo, he knows about you, he threatened you. That's a hell of a change from what you said the first time around.
There was no reason for you not to say that at the very beginning.
Okay. No reason in your mind.
I understand when witnesses or victims add on to their story, they tell you something they've never said before, but to change your story, that is a horse of a different color.
And I have one man sitting here looking at me with a face of stone. I have another man over there smoking a cigarette 90 miles an hour and tasting. You're not my best buddies. I wouldn't go drinking with you, that's for sure.
You feel guilty about what you did, Diane?
No, because I didn't do anything wrong. And I wouldn't change it if I could. My kids and I always took the back roads.
One of the keys in interviewing somebody is you got to keep the tension up. Stress them out to the point where they eventually get to the truth, which clearly does not happen with Diane, but that's the goal.
I'm trying to find out who shot your kids. And if it was
and
you,
I'm
that's
doing
the way
what
it
I can. Fine, I mean,
if
I agree.
If it's you, you're going to take the fall for it. If it
I
wasn't
agree.
You, then I'm going to quit this job.
The interview went for approximately 2 hours. And towards the end there, her frustration level was rising.
I'll make you a deal, okay? Next time I remember something, yeah. You can find the guy yourself, because I know I didn't do it. And you can chase your little tails for the next 20,000 years if that's what it takes. You don't like my help, you can it.
You're real confident in yourself, aren't you?
I know that I didn't do it.
Diane thought that she was too smart for us and that there wasn't anything that could trip her up.
Come on, Diane. It's your turn at bat.
Since you guys seem to think that I should have brought Diane with me, I will get it myself. Because I know who did it.
You do know who did it?
Yes, I do. I damn sure do.
You know him by
name?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
You saw him shoot your kids?
Yep.
It's pretty important.
And I saw him grab my arm and yank my arm out and shoot my arm and say, now try to get away with it. And I'm leaving because I know who did it. Bye.
It's like, I don't know who you think you're fooling when you should want them to catch the person more than anyone in the world. And you're trying to play games with them like you guys figured out on your own. Then it's like, it's your children who were shot.
Yeah.
Like you should care more than the police do about getting this person put in jail.
That should have been the first words out of her mouth when she got to the hospital. Oh my God, so-and-so shot my kids and me.
Yes, yes.
This didn't come out till almost, it was probably months and months later. Mm-hmm. And the thing about that really kind of stuck out to me too, is she's like, I wouldn't change anything. We always took the back roads. I'd go back and do it again. So you go back and have your kids shot again.
Yeah.
Who says that?
If you got this guy who's looking to steal a car, he's going to carjack.
Mm-hmm.
He's real desperate. He's got a gun. He's going to carjack. Would he be out in the woods in the middle of nowhere just hoping some random car shows up to chill?
Right.
Like, he'd be where cars are.
Yeah, you know, at least one or two every few minutes come by, not, you know, hopefully one every 6 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, God.
Hey, look, the only person that would make any sense, and it doesn't make any sense, so just go with me down the rabbit hole for 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I'll keep it to five.
Okay.
Would be the other dude, right? Like, he doesn't want her to have kids, so he shot her kids, so she knows that, so she's going to protect him because she wants to be with the other dude. The problem with that is the other dude's married and wants nothing to do with you, so that didn't happen. So no other human being do you even have any sort of reason to protect. So if you knew who it was, you would have told the police if it wasn't you.
Oh, yeah.
You're just trying to be like, you're never going to catch me because now I say I know who it is, which makes you know it's not me. And it's like, no, that's stupid. You should want to catch the person more than anyone.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, everything she says is just absolutely ridiculous.
Garbage. Like, she just spews garbage.
Yeah, completely. So jump into the trial. It was pretty cut forth, not, you know, nothing big. Her daughter, Christy, did take the stand after she was able to speak again, because with a stroke, she had to go through a lot of stuff in order to be able to speak again. But she got up on the stand and flat out said that her mom shot her and her brother and sister. And she told the court how
didn't say anything about one of them leaving the car or anything like that, because you figure she might know that detail.
I didn't really look into like transcripts wise. Mm-hmm. I just know that she told them how it happened and that her mom was the one who did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure she probably, I don't know how much detail they would have made her go into, because she was eight when she was shot and 9 during the trial.
I wish I could see that part of the trial, just because I want to see her mom's lack of reaction. Because that would be my guess when her daughter says she did it, right? Like this lady just straight lies with a smile on her face all the time.
Her comeback was that the prosecution, everything coerced her into saying that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typical thing that somebody like that would say.
Of course. My baby loved me. They put this in her head. Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, though, the prosecutor for this case actually ended up adopting Christy and Daniel, her two kids that survived.
Oh, wow.
And apparently they led very wonderful lives away from her, because she wasn't allowed.
Now, did Daniel have to be in a wheelchair forever, or did?
Well, it depends on who you believe, because everybody says he's paralyzed from the waist down. But the interview she did with Oprah said that he's able to walk with a walker and he's not totally paralyzed. So I don't know what's actually true or not, because neither one of those kids have ever spoken about it. They won't give interviews or anything like that. And the daughter that she had while she was being investigated and incarcerated was given to another family. And, you know, she has a pretty good life. I mean, she knows who her mom is now because it all came out. But I think that she struggled with that for a while, but she's doing great now, so which is awesome. But Diane was found guilty, and she was sentenced to life plus 50 years. Mm. So that bitch ain't ever getting out. I think she's had a couple parole hearings, and nobody believes her. And she, to this day, she keeps saying that she's innocent, that she's never done it. So I don't think she can get paroled unless she admits that she did it. I think that isn't that part of getting paroled? I could be wrong.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I'd have to look into that.
She has maintained her innocence the whole time when, you know, still doing.
I mean, so is Casey Anthony. The only difference is Casey Anthony's not in prison, right? So,
yeah, she should be. My blood pressure going on Casey Anthony.
Yeah, it's a disaster, right? I mean,
it's just,
I mean,
it's
we saw the flaws in the prosecution when we went over it with Martina, and legally she shouldn't be in jail, but it's just hard to stomach when it's like, but she's guilty.
You know she did it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful.
This case is just, yeah, I can't believe this lady just thinks she's snowing every. I mean, well, same thing with Casey Anthony. Casey Anthony said ridiculous stuff. Like, Oh, I brought you to the old place I used to work, but I haven't been there for years just because I thought my daughter might be there. It's like, I think you should be able to put someone in prison for that statement alone. Like, you do nonsense, prison.
Oh, God. Yeah, they are two peas in a pond, that's for sure. I've been so captivated by just the psychology behind her, just watching these interviews. It's insane. It really is. Mm. Oh Lord. But it's a good episode. I think she's a very interesting one to study.
She is very interesting. And like I said, she's so much like Casey, and it's like, they're just like this perfect storm, because these disorders combined make somebody who really wants attention, has no remorse, has no empathy. And the antisocial personality portion is straight up doesn't care about law or rules, right? So it's like, we don't care about the law, we have no remorse, and we want attention. That's like just a terrible combination.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's I'm glad that she's behind bars, and I don't think she'll ever see the light of day again. I really don't. And that's the way it should be, because something like this would happen again with her. You know, it would. She'd get some boyfriend who didn't want kids. And, you know, if she happened to have more kids, which, you know, she would have, because.
Oh, yeah.
Got to replace the one she lost.
Continue to have. I might be wrong on this, but doesn't Casey Anthony have another kid now?
I don't know. She said she was ready to have kids again.
She wants more kids. And it's like, but you know what? Like, Casey Anthony's been pretty reserved, though, because I would think that these people would just be popping out babies left and right.
Casey, I don't know. There may be some fear behind the things that she does, because, you know, there are people out there who would kill her if they saw her. Huh?
Well, that's possible, too. But Casey also, like, I feel like Casey more so cared about her party life, right?
Yeah, she the thing of that kind of difference between her and Diane is that Casey wasn't really media attentive. You know, she wasn't looking for that limelight. Yeah. It didn't seem like. I mean, because she didn't do a whole lot of interviews.
She was looking for the limelight, but she was looking for the limelight with dudes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Not with, like, the world, yeah. Where, right. Like, Diane is, like, trying to be, like, all over the TV, and it's like, why would you do that to yourself? Like,
exactly.
The more opportunity you have to speak, given that you're super guilty,
right?
The more opportunity you have to prove that you are still super guilty. That's where the narcissistic personality disorder falls in. It's like, you just think you're so fucking smart that the more I talk, the more they just don't know what's happening. It's like, no, you just look crazy.
Exactly.
Like, it's not helping you.
Oh my word, these people we choose to learn about. And this is what I live with throughout my whole week. I mean, this is all I do.
This is what your cat's like.
I've had, well, they kind of run away when I start playing weird stuff. But when I'm at work, this is all I do. I listen to true crime shit. And it's gotten to the point where at night I can't do it anymore because it's just, it gets in my head too much. So during the day, I'll go through the stuff and research. But she's, oh Lord, she's something else. I don't know. I don't have anything good to say about her at all whatsoever. It's fun to be able to study crazy people and take a look into
it. I was mad at her from the beginning, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Before we even talked about children and any of that, because like she said, a scraggly haired man, and I'm like, scraggly haired. That dude's white. Why are we always blaming the old white man, man? Like, I can't catch a break, man. I'm 44 now. The old white man did it.
Yeah, except you don't have scraggly hair, goofball.
I did yesterday. I just got a haircut.
Oh, Lord. All right.
All right, guys. Thank you for joining us for the Diane Downs episode of Through the Abyss podcast. I am Ben.
And I'm Mandy, bidding you a farewell on this lovely Saturday. And also, as always, if you want to get in contact with us, our email is throughtheabysspodcast@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat at abysspodcast1.
Spotify, Pandora, other stuff.
You're so weird.
Well, Ben, we got another episode under our belts. Thanks so much for tuning in to Through the Abyss podcast. And until next time, keep it weird.
Spooky stuff.